Jesus tells us to take up our cross and follow him. You're listening to Crosswalk with Pastor Steve Winery. Crosswalk is the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Tri-Cities, and it is our aim to lead you to the cross through the teaching of God's Word.
Come break our culture, tear down our pride. Lord, take your church and purify. Oh, we are ready to stand in your love. Come, King Jesus, deliver us. Oh, my King is coming. Restless hearts, be still.
And as we're walking up, I hear these two people, a guy and a girl, a boy and a girl, and they're praying. And I'm just kind of listening in on their prayer as we're coming up. And I'm not trying to eavesdrop or anything, but, you know, I want to hear what they're praying. Just sweet prayer, just, you know, obviously love the Lord and that kind of stuff. Walk up and guess who it was? It was those two kids. And God just goes, oh, so we are a judge of the outward appearance, aren't we? Yeah, and so I got nailed with that. And again, the point being that we just don't do that. We just don't do that. We don't know the reasons that people get into the problems that they get into. We don't know the reasons that people become poverty stricken and that kind of thing. We don't know the reasons that somebody is walking around in clothes that are grungy, and they may be walking into church at that point because it was their only option at that point. I have gotten myself in positions because I used to work in construction and stuff where I had to go into places that were very nice in my grungy work clothes. And a lot of times when I would work in construction, it's a bunch of guys, and so I don't care what I'm wearing in front of them. And so usually when my pants rip out, they rip out in the crotch and stuff. They wear out, you know, in between the legs and that kind of thing. And there was this time, and I can't remember where I was, but I had to walk into this place, and I had to. It was a job thing. And I, you know, I'm sitting there walking in kind of with my legs like this because my pants are ripped in the middle, and they probably got ripped more that day and stuff. And I just smelled like a buffalo and totally embarrassed. And I had to be there. Got looks left and right because it wasn't clothing that was appropriate for the place. Fortunately, it wasn't a church. But in any case, it had that whole thing going on. And so, again, we're not supposed to be like that. So, have you not shown partiality among yourselves, he says in verse 4, and become judges with evil thoughts? See that? So if I look at two people, and on the outside, I judge one to be worthy of my attention and another to be unworthy of my attention, on the outside, I've become a judge with evil thoughts. And I'm not supposed to be that way. Verse 5, he says, listen, my beloved brethren, has God not chosen the poor of this world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which he promised to those who love him? And that was absolutely true in the first century. The social status of most of the church was the poor people. This Christianity was grassroots. It was all the poor people, and it rose up from the lower classes and enveloped the upper classes. It took 300 years to get to Rome, basically, to get to the leaders of the Roman Empire in the sense of getting them to embrace Christianity. But most of the rest of the Roman Empire had already done it. And so God didn't go after the leaders. God went after the lower classes, and he brought them into a relationship with him. When you look at the rest of the New Testament, there are passages in the New Testament that talk specifically about people who have money despising people who don't, and the fact that the attitude is absolutely wrong. It shouldn't be done. And again, it was because of this whole thing. Most of the people who followed Jesus were poor. A lot of the reason that the Roman Empire became Christian is because all the slaves got saved. So the slaves got saved, and the slaves are taking care of the masters. And some of the masters were kind towards the slaves, and so they were willing to listen to them, so you have that whole thing. But who else do slaves take care of? Children. They took care of the children. And so they're having a witness to the kids that they're taking care of. And again, literally, you have these situations where from the weakest to the strongest, Jesus is drawing out humanity and bringing them into a relationship with him. You know what the problem we have in the United States is based on? Children. You have some of the most rotten people in the country controlling children. I'm not just talking about teachers. I'm talking about there are people, politicians with agendas who promote their agendas in the public schools, and they are trying to control children, is what's happening in that situation. And what God did with Christianity in bringing righteousness in, Satan does with wickedness, in bringing wickedness in. And it's getting more intense as time goes on, something to be watching out for. We are about to get a whole new influx of kids at Calvary Christian School because of this whole bathroom ruling, bathroom locker room ruling. We already have people calling our school asking if this whole thing with men have to be allowed in the women's locker room if they decide that they're girls, and men have to be allowed in the women's restroom if they decide that they're girls. They want to know if our church has to conform to that whole thing, because they're going to pull their kids out of the public school and they're going to bring them over here. And that's exactly what I would do if I was a parent. I would empty those schools. I would empty them. It's just craziness. In any case, it's a good thing to keep in mind. That's why children's ministry is so important. It's really important that kids grow up knowing the Lord and having an influence. And even if they don't end up following the Lord when they get older and stuff, they've still had the influence from the time that they were little kids, and that's hard to get rid of. You know, most of us, because of the culture that we're living in, have these influences that happened to us when we were little kids that were bad, that are hard to get rid of. They're hard to overcome, right? Just imagine if you had somebody in your life who was absolutely awesome and telling you about the Lord and what kind of influence that you can have with that person, what they would be looking back on in their life when they contrasted what you said to them with what everybody else did to them. And it's just an awesome thing. So children's ministry is really cool, really important. It's why we put a lot of emphasis on it around here. It's a big deal to me. And again, you know, it's because of that stuff. I didn't have a lot of influence in my life. There were very few people in my life who were allowed. I only had a certain amount of time with my grandmother, for example. There was a certain window of opportunity there. And actually, it was from the time that I was about in first grade to second grade. And then what happened was my mom split on her husband at the time. We lived at my grandma's house, and she brought a guy home to my grandma's house. And we got kicked out. And so doors go down on that influence from my grandmother, and I didn't get to talk to her again until I was probably in junior high from that point on, because my mom was mad because she couldn't bring a guy home. My grandma was a Christian, and so she wasn't going to put up with that kind of stuff. I totally agree with her. And so from that point on, I didn't have a lot of influence from anybody. And so there were only a very few people in my life that ever actually influenced me on any kind of level. And so one of them was a football coach. So I had a football coach that influenced me, and one of them was a physics teacher, and she influenced me. And all the way through high school, that was pretty much it. Those were the people that had some kind of influence on me, and they actually made some real differences in my life, and they had no idea that they did. They had no idea. I didn't tell them until years later. In fact, my football coach, I didn't tell him. Actually, I never told him. I told his wife after he died, and I never got to tell him. I should have told him, but I didn't. And so, you know, the influences that came into my life were not kind of focused on me. They weren't actually, you know, these people weren't actually coming after me. It was more of just a normal kindness to a kid, and I took it. And it wasn't a big deal. It was just kind of off the cuff. They were kind to me. And the stuff that they said to me, I respected, and I listened to them, and I appropriated it in my life, and it actually changed a lot of things. That's very little influence. They weren't going after me. There was very little influence there in the sense of them going after me positively, and I reacted hugely to those things. Just imagine what kind of influence you can have on kids when you are positively going after them, talking to them about the Lord and being kind to them and loving on them and stuff like that. You know, one of the things that happens around here, sorry to get off on Sunday school, but this is my soapbox and I'm standing on it. One of the things that happens in Sunday school that is the weirdest thing to me is you have Christian parents who do not want to have their kids in the Sunday school because they don't want their kids to be influenced badly from the kids who come. That's crazy to me. Sunday school is one of the best opportunities that you have to lead people to Jesus. It is the best opportunity that your little kids have, besides talking to grandparents, that your little kids have in talking to people about Jesus. And so my son would come home from Sunday school, and there were times when some of the kids were kind of rotten, and it was because of their background and stuff like that. Every once in a while, a cuss word would come out, and my son, if a cuss word came out, he came home and he let us know, "There was evil in the Sunday school today." You know, he didn't actually say that, but that was his attitude. It's like, the world is coming to an end. Evil has occurred, and that kind of thing. And so we just told him, Nate, what's happening there is that kid comes from a home where he hears that stuff all the time. He probably doesn't even know what he's saying. "Yes, he did. He knew exactly what he was saying." And Nate would go off like that. And so we talked to him about the fact that he needed to be sharing the Lord with him and be a friend to the kid and that kind of stuff. Happened in school later on too, regular school with him. And he always had that thing going on where we had to encourage him, "Dude, this is your opportunity to share the Lord with this kid. And so you need to be taking the opportunity." And again, you know what, I'll bet you we have kids that get dropped off here by parents who are going out to breakfast. I'll bet you we do. Do we, Peg? Yep, we do. That's how Bobby got influenced with the Lord. Her parents used to drop her off for Sunday school, and then they'd go out and have breakfast someplace. And so literally, they're bringing their kids in, dropping them off to us, and we have this opportunity to reach out to them and bring them to Jesus. And then what happens is it's really hard not to listen to a little kid when they love Jesus so much. And God starts working. Same thing that you have here. And so I just want to encourage you. If you've never done Sunday school, it's like, I know that you get in there and it's the nitty gritty little monster kids being bratty and all of that kind of stuff. But, I did Sunday school for years and I understand that whole thing. And I would just get a mindset where I was like, okay, it's not about the little bratty kid and the parents not taking care of them and disciplining them and that kind of stuff. It's about the influence I can have with them. And that's what I would focus on when I was doing Sunday school, because things are gonna happen there. I've been in ministry a long time. I have baptized kids that I led to the Lord, and then I've married them, and then I've done their kids' baby dedications. And it's like I've had influences on multiple generations of families because I was involved with them when they were in Sunday school. It's very cool. Very cool stuff. So he goes on and he says, verse 5, "Listen, my beloved brethren, has God not chosen the poor of this world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom, which he promised to those who love him? But you have dishonored the poor man. Do not the rich oppress you and drag you into the courts." And again, it's one of those things where the world never changes. And so you have situations where people who have money can buy lawyers and they can buy influence, and they can have their way because they've got a better lawyer than you've got. And so that's one of the problems with the American justice system, obviously. So if you have no money, you're appointed a lawyer. If you're appointed a lawyer, what you've got is a situation where you probably don't have the greatest lawyer going on there. And then you have some high-paid lawyer who's coming in with somebody else, and obviously he can argue the thing better. And courts many times, it is a game. It's, there's a game, there's rules, and if you can play it better, you win. And if you can't play it as well, you may not get justice. A lot of times people think the courts are about justice, and they're not. The courts are about the rules. The courts are about the game. And like I said, if you can follow the rules and you can find the loopholes and you can do that kind of stuff, many times you can get justice. But if you just walk in and you're just telling a story, most times that's not going to do it. And so I've had some situations myself where I was young and naive, thought I could just go in and tell my story. And you know what? Everybody in the court believed my story, including the bailiff and including the judge. They all believed my story, but because I didn't do it right, they couldn't rule for me. And they had to rule to the guy who they all knew was lying through his teeth. And that's the deal with it. And so what happened back then is what happens today, and it continues to go on. Do they not blaspheme that noble name by which you are called? Have you noticed that there's not a whole lot of rich and powerful and famous people who follow Jesus? Have you noticed that there's a whole lot of rich and powerful people who blaspheme the name of God, who trash Christians? And that hasn't changed either, has it? And so if these guys are people who are blaspheming, these guys are people who are dragging godly people into court and literally manipulating the system so that they can get what they want no matter what, that's evil. And if they're blaspheming the name of my best friend, Jesus, that's evil. Why in the world would I be walking up, kissing up to these people? And again, I don't need to be impolite because I don't know. You know, that's another one of those things you need to keep in mind. Just because a guy's got a nice suit on doesn't mean that he's a jerk, right? He may be a godly guy. He may be a nice guy who's not godly. He may be a guy with integrity who's not godly. That's a possibility too. And so I don't need to be judging them that way. But, you know, again, when you look at the overall picture, that's usually what you get. So we need to be keeping that in mind. You know, I'm doing the whole reveal Steve's heart thing. When I first started going to Calvary Chapel, it was a bunch of hippies. And I wasn't a hippie. You know, I never had the long beard like Zach or anything. Never had anything like that on my face. I did have longer hair and that kind of stuff. But my pastor was a hippie. He looked exactly like Zach, only had hair down to his shoulders. So he had this whole big old long beard and stuff. I walked in and I'm like, who is this guy? You know, doesn't he know this is 1975? The day of the hippie is gone. Disco's coming in. Come on. You know, so that whole thing was going on. And so, I was looking at the guy, and most of the people who went to our church were younger. And so not a lot of people with money in Southern California. And I remember the first time I walked into church, and there was a Beamer. I'm walking into church. There's a Beamer in the parking lot. I had never seen a Beamer in the parking lot. And I'm walking by, and immediately, because I'm a godly man, I begin praying for the person with a Beamer. Because obviously, they can't be saved because they have a Beamer. Anybody who has a Beamer does not know Jesus, was my attitude. And so, unless it has a big dent in the side, then maybe they know the Lord. And so I'm walking along, and once again I'm walking along, and I get to the back of the Beamer, and there's a Jesus fish on the back, and there's a bumper sticker on the Beamer that is talking about the Lord and stuff. And not that the Jesus fish and bumper stickers identify you as Christian, but it did identify my prejudice at that point. And so I had to repent once again because I was a judge with evil thoughts in that situation. And so that whole thing goes both ways. He says, verse 8, if you really fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, you do well. And that's good rules. He got that from Jesus, right? James is quoting Jesus here. The rich man came up to Jesus, he came up to Jesus, and actually it wasn't the rich man. Another guy comes up to Jesus and says, he was a lawyer, he says, what's the greatest of the commandments? And in that conversation, it comes out that there's two. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. And so James is pointing out the fact that Jesus taught that. And so you shall love your neighbor as yourself. So what's that mean? And it's something to be thinking about. And so I love myself. And so when I'm sitting on my easy chair and I feel hunger pangs, I would like to have something to fulfill the needs that I have in my belly. I would like to have something to eat. And so if I'm loving, if I'm there all by myself, what I have to do is I have to get up and I have to go get it myself because my belly calls to me, right? And so if I'm loving my neighbor as myself, then what's going to happen is there are going to be two people in the room and I'm going to be hungry. And maybe what I do is I say, wife, would you like food? This happens rarely. No, I'm just, why aren't you laughing? Yeah, wife, would you like food? Yeah. And what I do is I go, can you get me a sandwich? And she gets up and goes and gets it. And again, when you're talking about loving your neighbor as yourself, it's the whole idea of the things that you would like them to do to you are the things that you would do for them. And not specifically, but in general. And so, do you like it when people give you things? Do you like it when people are nice to you? Do you like it when people compliment you? Do you like it when people say good job? Do you like it? You know, what are all your likes? What are all the things that you like to hear? What are you, all the things that you like done? And do you only suck in or do you give out? Are you somebody who's always coming along and you're like a big sponge, give it, gimme, 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 gimme? Or are you somebody who is giving out it the same way, in the same way that you would like it to be done to you? And that's what it means to love your neighbor as yourself. But if you show partiality, you commit sin and are convicted by the law as transgressors. And so when I'm looking at people and I show any kind of partiality in a situation, how about being loyal to your family? Is that partiality? So if I know that somebody in my family has done something wrong and somebody else comes up and calls them on it, and I get up and get in the way of that whole thing and refuse to allow the person who's done something wrong in my family to be held accountable for what they've done, is that partiality? Yeah, it's not supposed to be done. Now, I'm supposed to be loyal to my family, and there are times when people have attacked my family for no good reason. At that point, I'm going to stand up. But just because you know, my kids, my wife, no, me, nobody in my family is in a situation where they can't be called on their sin. Nobody. And so I don't get to do the family thing. What about my close buddies? My close buddies do something that's sinful. Am I supposed to stand in the way of the people who are coming up and holding them accountable? And I'm not talking about people who are trying to hurt them or something like that. I'm talking about people who are going, hey, you can't do that. Am I supposed to take my loyalty to my friends and put that above what's right? Yeah, it's partiality. And so we need to watch out for those kinds of things, and you just treat people exactly this. You do your best to treat people exactly the same. And so somebody's done something wrong, what you want to do is you want to fix the wrong and you want to make it right and all that kind of stuff. And it doesn't matter if it's my kid or my wife or me or my friend or anybody like that. What you do is you try to make the thing right. And so there have been times when people in my family have done things wrong and I have told them, you need to go do this. This is what needs to happen here. And you will go through these steps. I'm talking about my kids at this point. You will go through these steps and you will go make it right. And, you know, sometimes they don't like that, and tough. It's like we do righteousness, okay? So if you show partiality, you commit sin or are convicted by the law as transgressors. For whoever shall keep the whole law and yet stumble in one point, he's guilty of all. Let's wrap this up real quick. And the point that's being made here is sin is just sin. So I can keep all of the law, 613 commandments. Let's just use 10 of them. And so don't take the Lord's name in vain. I can not put another God before God. I can not worship idols. I can keep the Sabbath day holy. I can honor my father and mother. I can refuse to murder. I can refuse to commit adultery. I can refuse to lie. I can refuse to steal. I can refuse to covet. But if I've taken the Lord's name in vain, what have I done? I've broken the law. And in that law, we're just talking about the Ten Commandments, there's a bunch of other stuff in there. And so there's don't steal, don't lie, don't murder. And so if I say Jesus Christ and I'm not referring to him, am I on the same level as a murderer? What I've done is I've broken the law. So I've transgressed the law at that point. And that's the point that he's making here. Now he uses two of the more rowdy commandments in the passage, but that's the point that he's making.
You've been listening to Crosswalk with Pastor Steve Winery. Crosswalk is the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Tri-Cities in Kennewick, Washington. If you're wanting to know more about what it means to follow Christ, then please contact our church office by phone at 509-736-2086. You can also look us up online at calvary-tricities.org. There you will find a wide variety of Steve's teachings to listen to or to download for free. If you want to join us for church sometime, we're located at 10611 West Clearwater Avenue in Kennewick, Washington. Our Sunday service times are 8:30 and 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. We also meet on Wednesdays at 6:30 p.m. We hope you have been blessed today and will join us again next time on Crosswalk.